Very much. First thing was the consent agenda approved from the CPTA Board of Directors for the appointment of L.C. Hodges, Louis C. Hodges. Have a motion, please.
So moved, Mr. Chairman, to accept the recommendations from L.C. Hodges to be reappointed.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mayor first and proper second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approval of Commissioner's appointment of Tri-County Authority Airport. Have we got any application for that over yet?
No, sir.
Okay. And we want a commissioner on that board.
I think it would be appropriate.
Yes, okay. All right. What else? So you're going to do it? Okay. All right. We have a motion, please, for appointment of Commissioner Ballas to the airport board of authority.
So moved, Mr. Chairman, that we accept the recommendation of most of the commissioners and quarterbacks.
Is there a second? Thank you, White, for first and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next, approve the ABC Board of Request for Distribution Payment Schedule. Mr. Bailey.
Yes. Chairman Michael Green, Chair of the ABC Board, has requested that the distribution payment from the ABC Board that would like to request in the Board of Commissioners approval on what in a written letter that distribution payment schedule that distribution will be made March, first meeting in March of each fiscal year.
Any discussion? We have a motion on that, please.
I'm going to accept the request for distribution in March each year.
Ready for a second?
Second.
First and second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We have special projects update by project consultant Robin Payne. She's had a death in the family. We'll be skipping over that part at this time, okay? And moving on to the next. Next is going to be emergency management grant, animal shelter, basketball group projects update by the assistant county manager, Dave Stronghold.
Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Mayor.
Everybody up?
Can't see this. Is this on? All right, so there is a PowerPoint presentation on your next to your desk that I'm going to talk about with this. The first, if you will, there are a lot of people in here, and there are several new commissioners who may not be totally aware of this, the grant and what we got and how it was allocated and what purpose of it was. So if you'll give me about 5 minutes to talk about that, and then we can talk about next steps and what we need to do. The intent of the grant was, the intent of the grant was to expand the emergency response capabilities and increase fire suppression and technical rescue support, as well as address the need for hazardous materials response in areas such as Lewis and Woodville area and in the Maryhill Midway area, Purdue and Avoca. There was a, I'm sorry, I'm like three ahead of you. there was a, keep going. More. All right, the way the allocation was broken up, it was $3 million to address the facilities for fire suppression and EMS and fire suppression, $1.5 million to go to Lewiston Woodville area, $1.5 million to go to Midway Maryhill. $2.5 million was set aside to, or was allocated to, for fire trucks for the Kelford, Lewiston, Midway, and Maryhill areas, and also $1 million for a ladder truck in Windsor. There's an asterisk by that Windsor ladder truck because my understanding is that there are some other needs for fire equipment there that maybe the ladder truck is not the best piece of equipment to go there right now. And so that will be something we can discuss as we move forward. The next one is just basically how we allocated the project when we, I wanted to make sure that you had a copy of where it was distributed. We'll talk about first about the Lewiston Woodville fire area. The intent of the grant was to build out the existing building. Apparently, if they were to get a new vehicle, And I'm saying a lot of apparently because Mitch wrote this before he was here. And so I don't know a whole lot about the specifics, except for the fact that apparently if they get a new fire truck, the current facility will not house it. And so in order to house that and to provide better fire and EMS protection in that area, the intent was to build out that building to go ahead and turn it to the next page, as you can see, to expand upon that building, to build another bay that would house the fire trucks and also create a EMS with bay with quarters in the existing building. And what that would also do is to increase the fire rating of that area. And so that was the first one. The second one is the Mary Hill Midway. Also, again, go ahead and flip to the next page so we can see the picture. Also to expand about the existing building to create a fire station, EMS building, and to increase the fire rating of that area. That's $750,000. Lewiston Woodville was allocated 1.5. The Mary Hill Midway site was $750,000. One more page. There's also the option, also allocated in the grant, was to build a substation, which would not house fire and EMS. That's my bad. Just house fire, a fire truck in the Midway Mary Hill area, closer to Avoca and to Ocana, which would decrease the response time for that area for roughly 10 minutes, if I'm correct. Go ahead and flip it one more time. There's the, this is the general area of what we're talking about, where this station, this substation would be. It would just house a fire truck. That's all it would be. We have several volunteers that live in that area that would be able to get to that very quickly and then address the fire needs. The factors in that it does decrease the response time by about 10 minutes, but puts areas that are currently have no insurance, protected class, is that right? It's not a protected class. It will give them a protected class rating, which will decrease their insurance rates substantially. And as a result, it also increases the economic development potential for that area. Because right now it's the highest because they have no fire protection. The insurance rates are extensive. Okay, next one. The recommendation and what I think administration has been discussing is our next steps. We think we really need to coordinate the equipment needs with the fire departments to find out, again, like I said, from Windsor, is it a ladder truck they need now, or do they need a pumper? I think it's a larger tanker truck, correct? Or something to that effect. And there are piggyback bids that are available for the fire equipment. So once we get with the fire departments to determine what they need, I know Lewiston is already, I have a copy of one that was given to me. Lewiston had already actually scoped out a fire truck. So there's one that they have identified. It's about it's under $500,000. I won't quote you on that. But because of that, I think it's important that we meet with the departments to scope out what they need and then look at what we can piggyback and order and go ahead and order them. Fire trucks take 2 years to get. So, and the good news is that they also get, the fire stations also get grants from the state. Is it right? Am I right? From the state that I'm asking for some coaching over here because I don't know anything. And these guys are, I saw these guys here, so I'll ask them. But they get 100% grants from the state, which they can use to equip the fire trucks with the equipment that's needed on them to address suppression and first response for hazardous calls of that nature. The next thing to do is also would be to coordinate the location and building needs with the fire departments, Lewiston, Woodville, and Midway, Mary Hill, so that we can determine what needs they have. I have an RFQ that's for an engineering firm that's already developed that we can then, my problem was I didn't know what to put down as far as what type of building or where, so that's why we need to meet with them to discuss those. And then once we've done that, select an engineering firm to design and engineer the building and move forward with it. I think I've covered everything. That's the intent of the grant and the purpose of it. Our next steps are basically to work with the fire departments to find out what type of equipment they need and how we best need to address the building and facility and the location, identify a location in that Maryhill area. I think there is some ideas out there, but I didn't want to point out any particular property until we know something for sure. Once we do that, then we can move forward. We've received the funds. The funds are in the bank. So it's now just a matter of coordinating and moving forward with getting.
Yeah, everything he said So I don't know what the Lewiston would build that, but it doesn't mean it can't be resupported to make that happen. Okay. You know, what we get an engineer and it's gonna be added on to it. Same thing with Midway. Okay, how long ago was Midway built?
Mid-70s.
Mid-70s. We're gonna have the same situation there also. It's gonna be mandatory 150-mile-an-hour wind, okay? And that's where the structural engineer is gonna get involved with us. There's several of them out there. I'd like to get a part of walking this thing through with you, assistant county manager, in order to get these things lined up and look at people lined. Let everybody see what's going on. Money has to buy it. You got everything pretty basically what you know, right, Jody? Okay. Yes.
Is there any way to stop it?
Only thing I can say on that is I think Mitch Cooper was here. Didn't he meet with all the fire departments or everybody was involved in it? I'm trying to get an understanding because I was involved in meeting. I was only involved with our consultants getting back to the state. The state came through with money.
Okay. My understanding was the reason why the fire departments were sitting laid out like this is because the basis of the money was for the hazard response, and the two biggest hazardous concerns in the county is going to be Avoca and Maryhill and then Purdue and the Lewiston area.
And again, so again, and we'll hit several of them more steps. Okay. The hazards we have, okay, and that Purdue area, I've had senators there and U.S. senators there already, and they see what the hazard is. As far as Purdue, it's not the only, you know, Purdue, we thought was only storing 40,000 gallons a month, it's storing 80,000 gallons a month. They got 20,000 gallons of diesel, they got 40,000 pounds of LP. I mean, all those cities there with substandard equipment, when quite high. The other thing is, there are no water lines down through the Quarter Road, which means there are no fire hydrants down through the Quarter Road. You've got the methane plant down there now. You've got natural gas substations over down there. The carbon extraction plant is down there. You've got Darling International is producing 1 million pounds of protein a day and taking from Welding Incorporated, which is a 20 megawatt power plant that has three boilers in there that are 60 foot tall, okay, 30 foot wide. And Darling has two in their building, which is a total of five. It could be a massive explosion. And we're also dealing, if you look up the fire that happened at Purdue that was up in, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Chesapeake. They had a chemical in that plant that water actually hit that chemical and responded, okay? And you can read the article, and it specifically states that. So we need to find out also the interior inside of the place, how they're staying, what they're storing, what they got there. So as Sister Kenny Bannard was talking about, outfitting our trucks, some places we may not be able to fight the fucking war. It's going to have to be some sort of phone call. I don't know. But these are things that we need to get in touch with and talk to these guys about. So, and again, get back to the basics of
That is a major disaster. And if you've only ever leaped out of a pavilion talking a 3.5 mile radius before an evacuation.
So I'm thinking then that our next steps with this would be I'd like to schedule some meetings with the fire departments in regards to the vehicles, the equipment first, and then maybe get that started. I did send out an email to the grantor, but I have not heard back from them yet in regards to if $5.5 million is not going to cover everything that I've just identified here, you know, three buildings and four trucks, then are we able to prioritize? And if we do, then we'd have to come back to you once we get all the information together to identify, you know, where we're going to spend the money. What's the first money? If, for example, the $1 million we've set aside for a new ladder truck is not what you need, and I'm just throwing out numbers here, the truck that we find is $750,000, are we able to allocate that additional money to one of the other issues that we've identified in here, you know, add on to the building, a building or a different truck or that type of thing? I'm waiting for response to them to find out what types of commitment we have, because the grant itself doesn't specify only $500,000 to this place, only $500,000 to this one. It basically has a grouping, this much for vehicles, this much for building and construction.
It was clear that we were likely not going to be able to get enough cover all of what we do. So we prioritized the impact for on the western portion of the county, with as John said, what we do. And one of the pieces that really helped us get this was the possibility of having an evacuation facility on the west, because our existing evacuation facility is not defended. That could be a problem. I just think the threat of the possibility combined with the east portion, that the expansion and the lack of coverage in the east. So those were the two, you know, kind of hot spots that we wanted to focus on.
The Philadelphia.
Right. But it doesn't mean that there can't be additional funds that we can apply for, but we needed to get started.
Right.
And I hate to say it, but the possibility of a problem. Right, that we could not handle without the resources we gathered. But that's what my question is. What is our plan around the evacuation space? So that was one of the drivers. But I don't see it mentioned here in the cover.
There was nothing in the grant that identified that. So I didn't cover any of that because I'm not aware of that. This is the first I've heard from this.
The other thing is, too, just to clarify, I know that $1.9 million that they put in with the feds, okay, to go towards our emergency services also, okay. Of course, it's that time of the year, where it's election season, is that the other part? I don't hear anything about that for another 8 months to a year. That is what I'm guessing. It was $4,950,000 that Robin and I sat down and even up the director also to get the stuff written up. All that was filed, correct? And $4,950,000 next month, okay? That would be pushing me to meet the rack. Specifications, things that I need to once he gets back, we'll see what happens and see if we can get that money also. But look at what we have here. This is a big start, big slap on the back as far as getting things done. Something to move forward.
But the loss of that one, and not including that evacuation, could really be a problem. So whether we get that in a new allocation, that needs to be something that we put in front. Because if we are saying that these funds will help us try to prevent something, that's great. But in case something does happen, in any kind of work, we're going to need to evacuate both. And I want to make it clear to the community that our existing evacuation facility is not meeting standard requirement. So we're going to make sure, and we need to make sure, that that's given a high priority. Very high priority.
Okay, so just to recap then, what I want to do is make sure that I meet with the fire departments to identify the vehicles, equipment first, and get that lined up, not move forward until we get the okay with you. But because we haven't been able to determine yet either, if I can say, hey, Jody, you've got $500,000, go buy a truck and send me, bring me the invoice. I haven't been able to figure and get that confirmation yet. So until we know whether what we can do that or not, we're going to manage the funds, but we're going to work with you to identify the vehicles or whatever we need to do. And we'll work through that to get that done. The second piece will be then to meet with the fire stations, the Lewiston area and the Lewiston Woodville area. Excuse me. I don't want to exclude any, and the Maryhill Midway area departments to talk about what we see the facilities to be and what we need from that. And along with that, John, you know, I can work with them to start identifying an evacuation plan and, you know, how we could update that piece of it. Okay. All right. Thank you for that.
Go ahead.
Pardon me. Okay. This is the, which one is this? I got two things on my animal shelter. All right. So, in regards to the animal shelter, I've attempted to reach Bill Daggett, but he has been out of the state. Well, out of, he lives in Virginia, but he has been in Kansas visiting family for the past several weeks. And so, he won't be back until Wednesday, but I've submitted some questions to him. The questions that I've sent to him are you know, does the Terrell County shelter plan as provided, which I gave him another copy of, meet the current state NC state uniform building codes and the requirements of the Animal Welfare Act? And if so, can you, would you be willing to develop plans that would replicate that shelter? And also told him, I said, realizing this is above the scope of his current contract, what does that mean in terms of, you know, how we need to address that before, if he does it? I also reached out to Amy Lynn, who's our state inspector for animal welfare, and asked her a number of the same questions. I asked her if she was familiar with the Terrell County shelter. If she was, could this shelter be replicated and meet all the Animal Welfare Act requirements as well as the NC state building codes? I asked her, what would we need to do to bring the existing Bertie County animal shelter up to 100% compliance so that they would be happy with that, and explained to her that we had funds available. Basically explained to her that we did everything we promised them we would do. We put together a plan. We reached out to develop a new shelter. It just caught, you know, the expenses of it were more than what we had available. So we're looking at other options. And then I asked her if she needed to come and look at the animal shelter again to give us a better feel for what needed to be done to bring it up to 100% compliance. Would she like to come and visit again? Well, that's great because now I have an inspection coming up, but that's okay. We're ready for that. Her response was that the last facility compliance inspection was in March of 24 and it was approved. So technically the shelter is in compliance, technically. The non-compliant items that I have seen are more of a staff issue than building issue. Most of the non-compliant problems, proper sanitation, documentation, maintenance of the dog houses, continuous fresh water, cleaning and fans, etc., could be resolved if there were more staff. The current shelter works for now, but a larger shelter is to accommodate the growing population and hopefully decrease the shelter's euthanasia numbers. It would be ideal to have an indoor outdoor shelter with guillotine doors to keep the animals comfortable temperatures during the winter and summer months. I don't recommend the layout of Terrell County. In my opinion, that setup is no better than what you have now. And I hope you had your answered your questions. If not, the shelter is due for its annual inspection. Let me know when I can come down and see you. So I'm going to call her and get her to come down here and do it. That's where we are right now with that. I'm waiting here back from Phil by the middle to the end of this week. So maybe by the next meeting, we'll be having a little bit more information for you on that. And based off of that, then by then Hopefully Amy will have come down and we can talk a little bit more about that as well. But the problems we're having now, we have one full-time gentleman who, a staff member who is responsible for cleaning the shelters twice a day and, you know, hosing them down, feeding the animals, walking the animals, which is what the Humane Society helps with, feeding all the animals. And it's tasks that he can do, but in terms of that pretty much takes all the day. So doing the repair work and the other cleaning, the fans and the updating the fencing and the painting and stuff like that are additional duties that what she's identified. A lot of the violations that we've had over the past several years, or even before I was here, are because those things have been let go. And so what she's suggesting it, what she said is, more manpower probably would eliminate some of that because more people could focus on the issues that they need to be done.
Yeah, I think Mr. Wilson, you know, we were talking about last time. I should check back. I think the apparel management issue is that new standard data that we were talking about. It's that open air part. So the current one, the apparel was open.
Yeah.
But that facility is not, we need something better.
I was just looking at another option. Should we not be able to do move forward with anything else? You know, what can we do to that one to at least keep it going a couple more years?
Is it a manpower issue or is it a time of task issue?
Pardon me?
Is it a manpower issue or is it a time of task issue? You don't have to
answer that. I would honestly believe both. It's both. Okay. It's if I hear when I get my responses back from both her and from Bill, I'll bring that forward again at the next meeting where we can at least have a little bit more input on that. I'm next too, so basketball court. All right, so I want to I was asked on if you'll recall, in February, we put an RFP out for construction of a basketball court at the Berkshire County Recreation Complex. And we posted it in the state procurement site. We posted it on our website and on our Facebook pages. The proposal included clearing and grubbing the area to be accessed, degrading the area, installation of an asphalt court, installation of basketball posts and goals, regulation basketball court, the lines for it, put sport lighting up, and fencing. The proposal included two addendums, which were basically give us this price, but then tell us how much more it would cost to do this and how much more it would cost to do that. The two addendums addressed including a pickleball court equipment and striping for it, and one to address tile flooring rather than asphalt. And I came in front of you on April the 8th and explained to you that we'd received no proposals for this project. When I brought this to your attention, I asked for directions for the next steps. I provided several options, which included reallocating the funds to several other projects that you were trying to address at that time, as well as reposting the RFP. The consensus that we had at that meeting was to include this on an upcoming work session to discuss. And because I believe Commissioner Weston, I believe you were out on the 8th, so we really didn't want to discuss anything until you were there. On Friday, the county manager brought this to my attention. And I've actually, since then, I've contacted Donna Mazzell, our Parks and Recreation Director, and requested that she do some additional research to determine if there were any companies in Berkshire County that might be willing to consider this project. It's my opinion that the success of this project might benefit from further discussion from y'all as to the location and build out of this project, what it is you want to see on this project. And because, I mean, where exactly, and what are you willing to do for it? Because we only had, $53,000 for that? Is that right? So, I mean, the RFP that I put out was based off of several conversations we had, but you know, is there things that you'd want to change differently? I've heard different things.
Since you started out with a couple of great boys, line just basketball, two basketball goals, and there was no running, there was no as far as get the forwards out, really give them in the area they didn't have that. Okay. Now, the area that was going is that you de-tree, de-stone, de-root the whole 9 yards. That's anecdotal. Then they had to pick the ball to work out. Okay. Which, that wasn't even considered the conversation.
Again, that's why that was an addendum, just to see how much more that would cost. It was an initial part of it. Well, the location that we identified as putting it in was one of two areas at the recreation center. This was the one that had parking already, existing parking next to it, and had power coming to the parking lot so that it could extend out to provide the lighting for the court. I mean,
we'll leave it alone. And we need to get it done because we know that citizens have asked for it. I get calls every single month saying, why can't a county build a simple basketball? And there's no excuse for that. I mean, I understand we put it out. I understand it came back. But my recollection is that the last meeting I attended, we said the same thing we're saying today. We said we should look for local builders or contractors who can get the job done. That was 2 months ago. And yet now we say the same thing. Whatever we need to do, David, it's another meeting of the board, and it's whatever it is, putting a task force together, we need to get this done. We need to get some bids that we can afford. We need to make a decision if it's not the right location. Right? Because one of the things that the community said to us is that they did not want a concrete. They wanted a composite surface. Right? That was in the what we asked for originally. I know. But anyway, let's give this some priority and move this thing along. You know, there's no reason we can't get this done. And rather, it's going to be winter. We don't do that. Let's just move it.
Okay. So here's my problem, my concern, not a problem, is, you know, here, put a concrete court, basketball court down, put the composite down, put lights on it, don't put lights on it, put it where they can access it at night, but, you know, we can't do it at night without lights. You put it at the rec center. At the rec center, there's only so many places we can put it where there's not something already there, which means we would have to make tear, you know, cut the wood, clear and grub it to make it done. Put it at the rec center and have it at night, but yet the facility closes at dark. So, you know, so then if we leave it open, then that means there's more staffing issues that are addressing, making sure that there's people there. So,
weeks, days, not months. Making a decision about where we're going to put it. Make a decision about what we want.
Okay.
We can get the money if we knew what we wanted. We don't even know what we wanted.
Mr. Weston, we did make a decision as to where we were going to put it. And we identified that. We put two in, but the problem is that it's going to cost money to do that piece of it. But like I said, I'm getting mixed messages to each time. Concrete versus composite. Which one do we do? We're going to just do a concrete? We'll do a concrete. I didn't do a concrete bid because I was told that we wanted a composite. So You tell me what you want me to put out there, and I will try and get the quotes to do that. But when I have different responses each time as to what to do, the RFP that I put out covered lighting and fencing and asphalt, and then added on the composite as an additional piece.
Let's get a few people, key positions, recreation, you, David, and some other, get them to meet, let them come back to us with these answers by next meeting. Back to us,
we can definitely do that if that's what the board is. However, again, we're relying on you all, because last time we talked about it, there was still some ideas being thrown out there. There was nothing definite coming from the board. But we know something definite from the board as how you'd like to move forward. We can do that. We'd like for the staff to come up with that. But we're here because we didn't get any bids. We put the proposal out before, and we said we would discuss it at this work session. So now we're discussing it, hoping to get some direction from the board so we'll know exactly what you'd like to do.
Can we just take the expensive plus $1,000 that we have, with a concrete court with two goals, we haven't promised the citizens a court with lights, water, electricity. But let's give the citizens what we promised. We promised them a goal. We budgeted for before a concrete court.
So you want us to get a group of people together, a committee together, to identify the need.
And what does the government cost in addition to that? Because, we have certain amount of money. Well, what can we do with that? What are the costs of the government? Because if we fully water, then we need to get out of the way.
All right, so you understand that, I put out a statewide request for responses. We also put it on our Facebook page and our website. Who else should I be reaching out to? I've only been here 3 years. So, who are the people that you are suggesting I reach out to get quotes on how to build this? Because I don't know who they are. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be facetious. I just don't know who else to do. Yeah. That's the only way I know to advertise it.
I'm sure you heard two passes. Just track down, read down the field. Those contracts there, they specialize in that type of work. And what I would suggest to the team put together is that the money we have, we can't put everything together at one time with the money we have. Or we just do it in phases. Phase one, phase two, have no time. I would be glad if I would give my time to speak with Mr. Peel at the high school almost to the point. Assistant superintendent received more than contracted through the Kansas High School and then were appeared. That's the start. That we have those people that you said being on contract. Then what the start there with people that came in and that worked for us within the last year.
Hello, I'm the new EMS chief for Berkshire County. My name's Kimmy Ann Corey. I've met a few of you, but I really, or I've seen you in passing. So we're going to talk about a few ideas we've come up with the non-emergency transport side, just so where we were, where we're at now. So what our goals were, at least that were portrayed to me, were to reduce our costs, increase our revenue, increase our staffing, and increase in consistent patient transports. The consistent patient transports, you're going to see that a few times. So what that means is patients that we constantly take, not one that we may pick up from the hospital and never see again. Patients that we take at least 3 or 4 times a month, roughly. So then and now, I just went back to the budget year because that's when all these decisions were made. At the time, we had 4 full-time net employees, which means they can operate 2 trucks. We have to be partnered together to do our job. 3 part-time and 2 net captains. Now, we have 7 full-time net employees, which means we can run 3 full trucks and a half a truck. So that's when our part-time staff will step in and help out. And then we have our 2 net captains. From my understanding, before the budget year, we had 8 positions on net, but I believe one of those was cut due to this issue. Next. So some quick little facts that people may not know. People can pay out of pocket for our transport side. I don't know the exact number just because it's based off mileage, but we bill at the Medicaid cost, and then we add on mileage depending on where they go. When discharged from Bertie to just our local nursing facility or rehab facility can make us about $400. That does not include, so say they're being discharged from Bertie to somewhere in Ahoskie. We also add on mileage as well. And then depending on the type of discharge or transfer, it depends on what we do in the back. If it's a advanced level discharge or transfer, then if we're putting them on a cardiac monitor, medicines, then that also costs, or, you know, we receive more money back for that. Also, patients that are deemed stretcher qualified from their doctor or the hospital, after we start taking them, they can no longer get in a car, ever. So 15 years ago, it really wasn't that big of a deal, but now insurance is cracking down. So if we see a patient or one of our patients out in the store that we just took to dialysis, we can no longer take them to dialysis. The reason why is because if they can get into a car to go to the store, they can get into a car to go to a doctor's appointment. And if we continue to do it, then that is insurance fraud on our end. And that comes with a lot of jail time and fines. So we don't want to do all that. And also today, well, not today, but this last couple months is the first time we've been fully staffed on net and EMS in years. So, So what are we doing now? I didn't print out any. I should have. So right now, having more staff means that we can increase the number of patients and runs. So we didn't have the runs were coming in when we were short staffed. We just didn't have the staff to take them. So either we would try to reschedule their doctor's appointment, maybe doing a day that we can take them. And if that wasn't the case, then we would have to turn it down. So it's not that we didn't have the runs, we just didn't have the staff. So also quick little facts, Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, we have 10 dialysis runs. So this means we have 5 patients and we take 2 dialysis and pickup. So that's 10 runs we can bill. That's every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, we have two dialysis patients. That's four runs we can bill to and from. That's not including other patients we do to doctor's appointments and discharges. We average about six doctor appointments a week, so that's roughly 12 runs we can bill for. And then we also have approximately 15 consistent patients. Like I said, this does not include discharges that we may pick up and really never see again. And we've also, because we're now we're fully staffed, we've increased our ability to take appointments on any day instead of just our slowest dialysis day, which is what we were having to do. So when we were short-staffed, someone would call for appointment on Monday. We can't do it because all of our trucks are tied up on dialysis. So we would try to reschedule on Tuesday, Thursday. But now that we have more staff, we can try to accommodate them on the Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule. Billing wise, so we're tightening up on our paperwork between employees and doctor's appointments. We never had an issue with employees turning in their paperwork. It was more or less making sure they filled out the insurance forms correctly on our end or the doctor's office end. Sometimes they don't do it correctly and follow our instructions, or sometimes they just wait weeks to fill it out, which holds us up. So we are looking at biweekly meetings with Collington, which is our billing system that we use. And also our net captains, now that they can actually focus on paperwork instead of being on a truck, they've made up schedules to keep up with prior approval patients. So what that means is, so for our dialysis patients, we take them at least three times a week to dialysis. We have prior approval patients, which they use a 60-day approved medical necessity, or PCS is another term. So their doctor signs a medical necessity is good for 60 days. So we don't have to constantly get that. For our patients going to doctor's appointments, we have to get one every time. So that's kind of what holds us up. Dialysis most time, as long as we get them ahead of time, we're fine as long as we stay on schedule. It's the doctor's appointments that hold us up with the paperwork. And also, now that our net captains are in the office more, they have the ability to be more aggressive with getting these paperworks, as in maybe they have to go to these doctor's appointments or these doctor's offices and, hey, we need you to fill this out again. So we're trying to cut down cost. After hours, when I say after hours, our transport gets off normally around 6 p.m. normally. So after hours, on Sundays when we don't have transport, or even when our transport is busy, EMS will step in and do some discharges to help the community out. We're also saving more money by having full-time net employees. Because before, when we had a really busy schedule and we didn't want to reschedule people, we would pull in full-time staff to work overtime. So we're actually saving money by having more full-time staff. And any full-time staff, if their partner calls out, so instead of sending them home because they're full-time, we can't cut their hours, we utilize them to go pick up paperwork. If there's paperwork, overdue paperwork that needs to get handled, that's their job for the day. Any transport crews that maybe their patients canceled, or we just didn't have a lot of runs that day for some reason, we've been calling the hospitals, calling Bertie, Ahoski, Chowan. Hey, we have a crew until 6. Any discharges you have, call us. So we're trying to get our name out there and trying to pick up these discharges. And if we do get to the point where we need more staff, we already have ambulances. We have 7 net trucks already. We have 9 EMS trucks, which means 4 EMS trucks are constantly on the road, and we have 5 backups or spares if something breaks down. Employee retention. So we got the employees now. That $3 raise helped us a lot. And we're also doing something, I'm not going to say no other county is, but a lot of counties are not. We're doing it's called the 5-3 grading scale. So every 5 years that you have your current certification, you get a raise. So if I got hired with Bertie County and I came in with 5 years of experience, I'm going to start off at the probationary pay. But once I get out of probationary pay, I go up to 5 years of experience pay. And that brings in a lot of people. Because if I've been doing this for 5 years and Mr. Wesson, you come in doing this for 20 years, do you want to get paid the same as I do? So we pay off experience at your current level. And every 5 years, you get a 3% raise. Also, which this county does longevity. So every year you get some type of kind of like a bonus pay or longevity pay. And I bring that in because I came from a county that you didn't get it until you were there for 5 years. So this is my first year. I was like, oh, what is this in my check? You know, so it's something to look forward to. But what keeps good employees? I've talked to people that have left from here and just any EMS magazine that talks about why are you leaving companies or why are you going to this company? Good leadership and communication and consistency. Money brings people in, but that doesn't keep them. Leadership, treating them like they're or letting them know, not treating them, but letting them know they're appreciated is what keeps people. Also, family environment and keeping up the morale, that keeps people. Also, advancement in their career. I have in my mind, this is something later, stair set positions. Let people level up, give them something to work for and achieve, try to achieve for. Next. So advertisement wise, we already have an ad that's running in the newspaper. We've had that for the last few years. Obviously, visit all the nursing homes in the area rehab facility and other counties that may use us for their services. Post on social media. Social media is the thing now. So we're going to have to advertise on that better. Advertise at Council of Aging and DSS in Bertie and Perquimans. And I bring in Perquimans. We have a point-to-point contract with them. So that means us and one other company can go into Perquimans County and pick up and take to a doctor's office or dialysis into Perquimans County. Us and one other company are the only ones. And I want to say we're the primary one. So if we can't do it, then the other company will step in. So no other company can do that. Now, the other company can go in and pick up and transfer out. But to stay in county, we are first line on that one. Brochures. So we're in the process of making some brochures up and maybe put them at hospitals, doctor's appointments, the health department. Also business cards. Maybe even look at getting a radio commercial or just a TV commercial. I know that costs money, but it's advertisement. Also community events. It puts their name out there. It's good PR for us and it lets the community know we're here. And then also contact the news about any events we're participating in. The news actually stopped by our station one day and just let us know, hey, anything you got going on, let us know. We'll put the word out there for us. We have a few things that we want to participate in coming up. It's good PR, but also it puts our name out there. Transport is going to be participating in it. We're going to have all of our asthma advertisement out there. It keeps the morale up for us because it's something we like to participate in. It looks good in the community and people see our name and they meet us. They see that we have good personalities and that we're good people. So then they'll be more willing to call us. Which this is kind of a lie. I haven't ordered it yet. I'm trying to get quotes on it, but I have requested quotes for more PR items since that stock is low. And we're looking at things that are something that people will use. So that way they can pick it up every day and use it and see our name and our number. I think that's it. We have some new ideas. We have looked at maybe shifting some of our crews to different hours to keep our crews there longer. Well, not longer. So instead of 8 to 6, maybe a crew will come in from 11 to 9 so they can pick up those discharges at night. Focus on discharges back to the facilities because we know they're going to pay. And then I do have some ideas for the future, but we can discuss them at a later point because that's going to cost money on us to start up. Unless you want to hear about it now. I want to say that's it. Yeah. Do you have any questions?
I've got a question. I mean, everything's got to be
yes.
It's got a big workshop. It's got to be able to make money. Once you get it back to the bank, it's just like question is, it's made of management. How are you managing this? And the ideas that she's come up with as far as doing this to you, delivering us a lot of ideas. Thank you.
Thank you.
How do we measure this? We've got to be able to manage this profitability. And the cost of business and profitability money come back into the 911 cycle. So what we would need is where we're at now, okay? What we're trying to achieve in the next 4 to 6 months, okay? And it's going to take 4 to 6 months or so to return it, okay? And then where we're going to be at. And we can measure the progress from that, okay? Okay, we'll put all that together and get back to the commissioners and all those.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. So we know where we are budget-wise in terms of what we're budgeting. And so I've already had a conversation with the other day, figuring we have a team coming up with him and staff, and we're going to meet with them out very soon. But in addition to some of the staff being in contact with the building coordinator regularly with any questions that are needed, we're also going to have a team that mentioned by the meeting, so we'll have someone from their staff to come meet with us to say, this is exactly what we need, so that there's no question about what's needed, so that we can get the funds that we need. So once we continue getting those funds in, we'll be reported back to you from Dave Pickering on at least quarterly, so that we know exactly on where we're standing. And the goal, as we said before the wedding season, is to for that to be profitable. We want to bring in more money.
And again, we're talking about heating out. We know what we're talking about. And say, okay, this is our cost coming out. This is actually how much we made within that 4 months here. Okay? Is it not just a revenue flow that could go 3 months into the vault? You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay. A P&L like this, and we go in there.
Yeah, great presentation. I like, though, that we see at the games, we be there, I love service. We did the lunch Friday night. They had made 2 trips for Chasco. But if they were already there at the facility, it wouldn't give them enough time and another opportunity to offer the team to try to submit someone else.
We were there. We send a truck to every high school and middle school game. Their direction is if they need an ambulance, they call EMS. They call for another ambulance. If they leave, the game stops. So if someone gets hurt, they do what they need to do, but also call for a truck in. So that way they can take them. Right. They take them and one always stays there. Friday night was, that was a, I listened to it. It was, yes. But there is one at every game, every high school and football game.
It wasn't a very, very, very good presentation. It came out a lot of key things in terms of that can be positive in terms of marketing. So I think John is right when you say we need to look at this in terms of kind of measurable progress, in terms of, you know, are our plans producing what we expect? So the feedback to address, right? The other factor, right? Utilization of staff and maybe even how the citizens can see the value of what we're doing, right? But here's the one point that has troubled me, and I want to make sure that everybody's aware of this. When we first decided to go with the Miami Emergency Transport, you know, we licensed all of the facilities here in this county in terms of transport people, call people to be transported, right?
because we license them, you know, they have a responsibility to the citizens of this county. The way I understand the law says that if you're transporting someone from a facility either way, that citizen has some choice about who transports them. You don't just pick who you want to transport them. But what we found early on is that a lot of the business was going to the established market providers, and citizens were not given that choice. So we have to go out and talk to all of these facilities and say, no, you know, we have our transport business here, and the citizens, this county paid for it. We want to make sure that they're given a choice. They choose to choose someone else other than us. That's fine. But they need to be asked, and we need to respond. Once we did that, business picked up significantly, right? So what did we see when we saw that emergency manager, director, when he left, back down again? Because there was an opportunity, I think, that the market saw. Well, who's checking? And so the same thing is continuing to happen. You know, we need to make sure that facilities understand that citizens need to be given that choice. And if we need to mandate that they, in fact, keep a record to show that citizens were asked and who they chose, I don't see why we couldn't do that. Because we need to make sure that citizens of this county have a choice. That's what this is about. So we need to make this clear not only to our hospital, not only to the care facilities, whoever they are, right? That they must follow the rules, the requirements, and not just pick for folks who have, quote, influenced them or whatever, right? Everybody needs a fresh shot. So that's the what I think is the big difference in the volume that we get. I know we're going to give good service, and I know if you never ask,
yes, sir.
Thank you for that, Commissioner. That is something you talked about, and I mean, from your behavior, and that's something that the department did, the part of the administration that we need to make sure that I had conversations with Ron Hall, the president, that the hospital was able to accept the directors at the agencies to make sure that we are being given a fair chance.
Any other questions, comments, concerns, ideas? No, all right. Thank you.
Consideration of the show for Orlando Elementary School.
So, I mean, weeks ago, a couple months ago. I informed him of the letter received from Dr. Otis Caldwell, informing us that the University of Florida was engaged in the prayer of Orlando Elementary School in Grover Harvard. And as General Secretary states, it has been offered to us and see if we are interested in it. So as of right now, the call is in our board, with your board to determine if the board is interested in that. And once the decision is made, our board of power will be in the board.
I heard you, Director. Again, this is the only way to this feeling.
Yes.
Okay. When we have to transfer back to Murphy County, then we make a transfer to Orlando. So, how does that work?
See, whose name is it in right now? Is it in the school board's name right now? Should you know? So, if the county's commissioners say they're not interested in that, the statute says that the school board can then proceed to dispose of a facility as needed, which usually means they end up selling it or use it or something else.
Well, that's just more feel like we can transfer it into our name and then move it.
I think you can transfer it to your name, you're actually you'd be actually purchasing.
That's what I'm saying.
It can be fair, that doesn't have to be. But just to be clear, so there are two different ways that I want from my understanding. So we're taking a look at either the county acquiring ownership of it and transferring ownership to Olander, or not, is there an option for Olander to get a direct response to where it is?
Yeah, you're talking about, you're saying school board is thinking about conveying it to all of the town of Holland?
No, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that all maybe is interested as commissioner means, right? So we're just looking at how that can happen. You know, what are the options for that to happen? It can come to the county, you know, from school board to the county to Olander, or from the school board directly to Holland.
That's correct, yes. I'm looking at the statute right now to be sure, just if we need to go down, it's exactly how it's worded about value steps, but I'm 98% sure without even looking at it. I've looked at it enough that those are the two options. And so if the county's going to take it on as title, then it's going to really, it's between the county and the school board as to whether there's money paid, and if so, how much. I don't know if it uses the word fair market value, but it says, you know, basically if they agree upon a price.
Who is the school board wanting to do the school itself?
I can't do that. I didn't look at that. Yeah, I'm going to get a little bit of a comment. We're interested in the next time, too. But you don't get to say we find out once it is. You tell them, yes, they're interested. No, they're not.
It's hard to say they're interested.
Let
me suggest something that's been exactly what that right. It's a right spread. They have to open the thing. We want it, we take it. Then we can work out the deal about how much it's going to cost. But we have to express some interest first, right? But then you know what? It doesn't even matter. The main point, I believe, should be that's who is paid for our $7 million. And whether the school sells it or whether we sell it, there ought to be some division of those assets or the value of that to both the school and the county. The perfect example is that Astoria preschool, $4.68 million, the citizens of this county paid for that, and they got nothing back directly to them. We could have split those preschool after the county, after the school. So, you know, I think we just as partners together, the county and the school, we ought to be able to work out something where, regardless of who takes it, right, there ought to be some sharing of the value that comes back to the citizens who pay for it and to the school system. The school system has to keep operating, they deserve part of that. But the county, the citizens also, we could have deferred a lot of our taxes that we just had to raise if we didn't have something like this in place. I'm not sure if the statute allows it. The statute says clearly it belongs to the school. They must offer some purpose. I mean, if we want to stand up, that's the next thing. If we have to play it. But if we don't, leave it. And they didn't do that. I don't think. Because nobody wants to let it sit in here. Just go away from the people about Southwest. We took it because we have a plan to put two various entities in there for managing it, improving the process, and bringing value to our citizens. Right? We had that. I'm not sure I had anything. I've heard about a lot of people that kind of the land that they want to do something with it. And that would be great. But I believe that Stan Johnson said that if you offer it to the high school, you can put it out there.
There's a growth currently right
now. I've got the statute that I'd like to. To read it. The statute is in chapter 115C. It's called disposition of school property. And basically, if you get through I'll summarize the first two sentences and I'll read word for word the part you're asking about. The summarized part is if the Board of Education, in its opinion, decides that there's some real property that is unnecessary or undesirable for public school purposes, and they can dispose of that property using the statutory provisions in 160A Article 12. Which is the same statute, the county, the town, you know, same sort of statute about how you can dispose of public property. But this is provided when any real property to which the board holds title is no longer suitable or necessary for public school purposes, the board of county commissioners for the county in which the property is located shall be afforded the first opportunity to obtain the property. The Board of Education shall offer the property to the board of commissioners at a fair market price or and a price negotiated between the two boards. If the Board of Commissioners does not choose to obtain the property as offered, the Board of Education may dispose of such property according to the procedure as herein provided. So in other words, they would sell public, they would sell the people's property in the same method that we always have to sell property. But it doesn't, you know, that's all it says.
So it was the fair market value. They would do it. And then it all can buy the school board, right? Okay. Yes, sir.
It says that if the school board, it's the same process that a county would dispose of their property, they could, but we have first option for the school bidder. Being that the town of Allander could not then make that offer if we refused.
Yeah, another public value, public property, without having to go through an auction bid or a sealed bid, public negotiated offer. You know, those are the so yeah, you're right. That's one of the ways. There's like five or six ways to dispose of property, and one of them.
Well, I would say if you really want our land to have it, because if the school board puts it out for bid, and so I come back $500,000, I guess our land are going to get it. So if you want our land to have it, you better take it. But I mean, I personally don't think we need it. So let me, and I don't really have it.
I if we're going to give this at the town level, which I'm also, I feel like every may have taken every discussion.
After the vote, but what I'm hearing is the board is requesting that I let Dr. Smallwood and Board of Education know that the county is interested in acquiring all in the elements.
But our interest, we go down the process.
We're going to go on. So, yes, usually the next step, I mean, the next step is to get out.
Okay.
No,
you back. No, go ahead and let me. Good. Fine,
Jonathan, you want to talk about the
IPC? That's true.
I'm sorry, that's true. At this time, I'm going to have to leave about the appointment. Can we talk about the increase of the value of the VSS offer while we because. All due respect, I can serve on that board again, and I will ask the representative to be sure. Thank you.
All right. And this
I'm doing great. You got what we're speaking
about. I do. I'd like you to tell us what you got and where it's coming from.
Okay. Right here?
Yeah.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to try to make this quick since y'all are pressed for time. Y'all been here a long time today. Okay. It's been a long day. I just want to start off by saying that I do appreciate all the increases that you guys have given to the county thus far over the last couple of years, and that I'm here today not really asking you for an increase to my budget. All right. Berkeley County DSS continues to provide essential services to improve the health, safety, and well-being of our citizens in collaboration with our partners in the community. And my employees work hard, and mostly my supervisors. So when my employees call out, my supervisors step in. They do outreach in the community on the weekends. They're the ones that's doing the training. They're the ones that's setting up, doing my recruitment and retention. And when we did the step increases in 2023, I have supervisors that basically didn't get credit for time and service. So I have supervisors that have been with you 24 years or 18 years or 20 years that only receive credit for 0 years, 7 years, or 8 years. And because of that, you gave increases to employees who are working for them that didn't have the initiative to become a supervisor, or they didn't have the developmental capacity to be able to lead someone else, but they have been there for 20 years and they got credit for all of their years. And I have a couple employees who surpassed their supervisor's salary when you gave those step increases. Because of this and my hardworking supervisors, I wanted to take $4,500 from my travel line in my existing budget, and then $4,500 from my SAA line, and basically give my five supervisors that weren't on probation at that time an $1,800 increase to establish some distance between supervisor and employee. Go ahead. We're going to permanently decrease that line every year and permanently decrease the SAA line every year.
Okay, as they say to SSA.
SAA.
And the other line, we don't have to add any money to the budget this year or next year because it's always going to be there.
Right? That's correct.
Well, special services, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to take this opportunity to make a motion.
Okay.
I'll make the motion that we accept the recommendation from the Department of Social Services.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm here. I'm going to say that. Yes.
So initially, everybody sees in, it was an IT position was requested, and the IT position was flipped into departments and increased technology and the other in departmental services. So when I went to work session, the board decided that that position would be fully dedicated to DSS. And what that does is splits the percentages. So if it was a split, the state would reimburse approximately 25%.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just a DSS only position, it could. They could reimburse between 40 and 50%.
Correct.
So taking a look at the cost of that position, the two directors, IT director Bill Rose and the DSS director Darlene Little, are both requesting that that position be split and not be dedicated to one department for a number of reasons. One being the transition from IT to supervising and maintenance that employee as well as space.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, the difference of moving that would be approximately between $12,000 and $13,000. That would be the budgetary impact. And some funds have been identified in the IT budget where we could make that possible.
Okay, so you get the funds to make that
this year.
Yes.
Next, that what we identified was not recurring.
Yeah.
Although it's a little tense, whether or not she may have recovered some recurring, but the amount that we identified in IT was only for one.
Yeah.
Miss Long, did you get anything to tell you that you were during?
You guys can be born in hers because it's, we don't have to pick up more. She's going to pick up less. So it is not going to be her.
I think the county needs at least 3 IT people. Anyway, speaking with Joe, previous times in the past, I identified we need more help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now's the time, you know, to speak up and let the commission know that we need him.
Yeah, and
you know, and this is a whole opportunity. And when the next president comes, we can deal with it then. We'll have to deal with it then.
We basically have this already tackled. If it ain't gonna move nothing like
when Joe asked for additional help, we actually did engage Joe. Even though Joe doesn't see him, we took DSS, which was his biggest
supporter.
Issues to fix,
right?
We took that all the way off his plate. We took DSS off his plate altogether, except helping that person out. So now instead of two for the whole county, he got two for everything except DSS, which was his biggest, I don't want to say headache, but his biggest area he had to work on. So I just need y'all to understand, like, we gave him help. Now, it might not
take him to walk all the way.
And so,
but you didn't. Okay, so let me explain why. I am not an IT person. Okay, and the IT person has to report to Joe because we're on the county network. So he has to be able to provide the knowledge, the training, the support, because we are on your network. So giving me a person for me to supervise without that knowledge and experience and training is not helpful. It needs to be his, because they're just doing help tickets for us. But the whole mainframe and everything is Joe.
And the part of the other issue is that Fiend doesn't have space in her building for a person. So that employee would be in my department, but not in my department and not answer to me the way that it needs to be. Because in order to properly do the evaluations and everything that should be done for an employee, that Fiend's not going to be able to do that.
I'm saying that there's no reason you can't be in charge of him. There's no reason you can't work with him. Like, that's what I'm saying. Whatever your half that has nothing to do with whether you supervise him or not.
I'm sorry, I wasn't present when y'all awarded this. So what is the split? What is the split?
It's not split. You have him 100% of the time. And so that doesn't mean that Joe doesn't go to work over there or have help and never have. This is the issue that we're making because we wanted to. Like, I just want to be that very specific about that, because if we wanted this to work, this would not be a problem. I'm not sure if it's because you just want somebody else. I don't know what it is, but like, you having a full-time person should be a blessing, right? And like, not that he's got to not stay. I can't figure this one out for the life of me. And so I'm good. Go ahead.
Let's not rush, because you're talking about adding a person to my budget. So we're not going to rush through that. What we're saying is you want a full-time person for DSS, and I'm going to take what you give me, whether I reclassify it later or not. So yeah, I'm going to take what you give me, but Joe needs help. So where does that help come from at election time and all that stuff? Where does that help come from? Because if he's on my budget and he's 100%, he still doesn't have any additional help. He's just not doing DSS stuff anymore, but he still has to teach that person how to do all those things for my building.
Well, I understand how you split again, that person will be with you for 100%.
Gonna get anybody that's gonna sit in my building for the price you want to pay. Okay.
And if we do the split, it allows us to be more flexible as an IT department. That is.
And you might see downrange that you don't need a whole nother body next year if you have the split for this person this time.
Sure, my problem was how much? I mean, what's that mean? Hire the person between the county and social services.
I'm trying to make sure that I understand. Because
Gave me a full time person.
Originally, the proposal was to split, but because of the budget, the suggestion was made to do 100% DSS because it would increase the state funding. So that was the reason for that adjustment there. But the reason for the split as the initial suggestion was to help out everywhere. As opposed to... That's what we're suggesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we made that decision initially.
Yes.
Then when we're trying to...
Find more money in the budget and... Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I'm going to play a game.
One more thing. I just had one more thing to say. We invited the county manager for our employee celebration on October 17th. Commissioner Ron Robertson has agreed to speak, hoping that the county manager will agree to speak as well and allow us to close early.
The last meeting I believe that we had in August, a resolution, draft resolution was presented to the board on the back in April, an occupancy tax was voted in and passed with the understanding that the board would come back and enter into a resolution to enact a TBA passing the tax authority with the Two River Development Board, the TDA. And so the resolution was drafted between Lavin and Adderall, and they sent that to me. I looked at it right before the meeting, and we had some discussion at that meeting about a couple of things. For one, there was an even number of members on the board, on the TBA. I strike my board and my authority keep separate. It's the board, that's the TBA. There was an even number, so it suggested maybe to be an odd number, in case we could put in an even tie. And also, so then the question, well, where's that board member come from? So that's been resolved and added to what you have in front of you. Also, there needed to be an exception. Chairman, you suggested an exemption or exception for hunting leases. And so there's some laws that fit right into that. So that's been added. And then there really, I've added some more language. Language from the actual enacted session law that said Berkey County can establish a TBA. So I just added some more language. The changes that have been added, Robins are in yellow, mine are in green, and I can talk about, so basically it's the categories are a change we can discuss as much as the words as you want today is the exclusions. And the board, the TDA members, who they are, what they are. And so it's additional language that was added and changed. So I'll turn it back over to you to see which of these things you want me to discuss.
Yeah. Since we just got this today, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to have time to read it up. And, you know, today we missed it the next day. We have time to do them.
Yes, you did. But I emailed it. So you got an electronic form and then I'll give it out.
Yeah, manager.
Okay.
We're going to table this matter until the next meeting. Okay. So we have time to read this thing. Okay. I don't want to be available until we may have read it.
Right.
Yeah. With the attorney at the side. But,
yes, sir. Who agreed those comments that they're both in electronic form and that you got here today? And I'll be ready. Maybe we can, we can seriously miss
Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah.
So my question is, I had heard from other sources that we do not have the funding that we were told we had in the bag for E911 at $1.6 million and $905,000 for the lab trouble. So I just wanted to see if we in fact do have that, where it's coming to us, or that what's going on with it. Commissioner White, when we're referring to the presentation that was made by our economic development director, Frank Williams. And Mr. Williams, first time he spoke about it, he spoke with confidence after speaking with some of our legislators. The second time, he made a more definite statement, and that statement was a bit too definite because the budget had not been passed. Therefore, we do not officially have any of the funds that Mr. Williams spoke about. Thank you.
Okay.
That's all. Motion to adjourn.
So
moved. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.